I hope to be talking about the first part of Acts, leading into Acts. I shouldn't really say the first part because the part about the picking of the replacing of Judas to bring the 12 apostles back up to 12 before Israel fell, and the part of the Pentecost message by Peter, and the Acts 3 message, and that I'm going to pick up a little later. I'm going to pick up in probably about 6, but I've got a hopefully a one lesson summary that hits the high points. Not all, and I can't really see the screen while I've got my notes open, so I hope I'm not talking over anybody. But I want to hit the high points, and I'm going to skip some of the high points that they're universally agreed on, or almost universally, and hit the points that sometimes are misunderstood, in my understanding anyway. I don't understand them the way other people do, in other words. So let's get into it. We want to use our King James Bible, and we want to study it out of that and find out what it says and not what man's ideas are. The Bible actually says. And where it stops saying something about it, let's not go on and conjecture it. There are things that the Bible may stop in one place, and in another place it fills in the details. We need to study it to bring those together. That's a remote context that's about the same topic. Let's start in Romans 1, and this will be kind of in outline form, without a whole lot of explanation. We'll see as we go along. But Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, that occurred, what's talked about there, which is the gospel of God, and Paul's separating, being separated unto the gospel of God, that occurred in Acts 9, verses 19 to 23. Let's look at that. This just a few verses, what is it, 6, 19, it'd be 13 verses, 12 or 13 after Paul was saved, Saul of Tarsus was saved. Verse 19, Acts 9:19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So I'm giving the background here first, the Acts 9:19 through 23, and then we'll look at Romans 1:1 through 4. Verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Straightway, it says. Same chapter as he was saved in. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name, the name, in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So you would think, being exposed to the fact that their king had come and would come back, well, they're past that point, him coming back, but the fact about their king being exposed to them, you'd think they'd be glad and be repentant that they hadn't believed him the first time they heard about it. You know, if this is a retelling, Damascus, I don't think it's that far from Jerusalem. That's where Saul of Tarsus was heading, and probably one of the closer big cities. Okay, another concept here. Did we read we didn't read the Gospel of God. Look at Romans 1, 1 through 4, that we're saying occurred in that time period there, when just after Paul was saved. in Acts 9, starting in Romans 1, 1 through 4, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, to be an apostle, okay? So at the time he was saved, I don't see any indication that he was an apostle. At that point, the next clause here is what comes into play, into action. Separated under the gospel of God. He was separated from the mother religion of Judaism to the gospel of God. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets, talking about God promised it by God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which, now, he's already named him as being the Son, God's Son here, his Son, Jesus Christ, Christ being Messiah, the Greek word for the Hebrew word, Messiah, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, again, that's the messianic line, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Those three facts there. Sonship, Messiahship, and resurrection. So Romans 1, 1 through 4 occurred in that time period there, just after he was saved in Acts 9, verses 19 through 23, those verses we read earlier, where he's talking about Jesus being the Christ, Jesus being the Son of God, in verse 20. Okay, next concept. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18, that occurred in Acts 13, 1 through 5. Let's look at Acts 13, 1 through 5. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work. And we just went through that study about what the work was prophesied, the prophesied work. For the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's those five prophets and teachers sent away Barnabas and Saul to the work, which they completed, it says in Acts 14:26. They completed, they fulfilled. But it goes on and says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So the Holy Ghost sent them too, and I don't see that as ending in Acts 14:26. I see that as ending when it was expanded to all people. That sending was the early sending that is talked about in 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. Let's finish that section. One more verse. And when they were at Salamis, this is in Acts 13, verse 5. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, John Mark. He was with them for that brief time there. And I think it's significant, if you look in that verse, they preached the word of God. God had given them some new information here on the road to Damascus that unforgivable people could be saved by trusting that Christ had taken their sin on himself and died their death on the cross. So let's look at that. We started out by saying 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18 occurred in Acts 13. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What then is my reward? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. He's talking about the gospel of Christ. And I didn't have it in my notes, but I think we, just as a review or information, we need to mention that it's Romans 1:16, and there are some limits in there. Who it's to, it's I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Whose salvation? Those that trust. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew, look at, don't ignore that last clause. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that Greek there, many people confuse the Greeks with all Gentiles, and it doesn't say all Gentiles, it specifies the Greek in the dispensation of the gospel that 1 Corinthians 9:17 and 18 is talking about. All right, let's go to the next concept here. Acts 20, verse 24, did not occur in Acts 9. Acts 20, 24 did not occur in Acts 9. Let's look at Acts 9. We'll look at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll go to Acts 24. So starting in Acts 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So that's the Acts 9 account, but let's look at Acts 20, 24, that sometimes gets abused into saying that it's it gets placed in Acts 9. Look at the verse. It says, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. That's the first time he ever mentioned that ministry, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He received that here in Acts 20. If he received it in Acts 9, something's amiss that he didn't mention it before Acts 20. 11 chapters, you know, most of his life later. Acts 20, verse 24 did not occur in Acts 9. Next concept, Acts 20:24 occurred in Acts 20, verse 6, according to Philippians 4:15 and 16. Now, I said a lot of references in a hurry there. We're going to go through them, though. First of all, let's look at Acts 16, verse 12, for some background. Acts 16, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which, talking about Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were there in that city abiding certain days. If you look in Philippians 4:15, we get the next bit of information. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, wow, there was a beginning of gospel he's talking about here. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. Well, there was nothing about Macedonia in Acts 9 when he was saved, at the beginning of the gospel of God there, for him, his understanding of the gospel of God, or his separating unto the gospel of God. And there was no Macedonia involved or departing from Macedonia in 1 Corinthians 9:17 and 18, or in Acts 13 when he was sent out to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, well, let's look at Acts 20 verse 6. We found where he departed from Macedonia, and it says we sailed away from Philippi. Remember, Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So when in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, that fulfills what he was talking about in Philippians 4:15. You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, so that's Acts 20, verse 6. Before that, in Acts 18, verse 22, like the previous speaker mentioned, he had his temple vision. In that briefest visit to the temple, to the city of Jerusalem, where he left in a hurry, put it mildly, he left in a hurry and went up north downhill to Antioch. But that was when he got, it says, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. That's a future sending. Now, he had already been sent to the Gentiles that God would have to deliver him from. And we'll get into that verse in just a minute here. But just to tie this part together, Acts 20, verse 24, occurred in Acts 20, verse 6. That's when he sailed away from Macedonia, and it was at that point that he's saying, God sent me. That was the beginning of the gospel. You know, in the temple vision, he was told that he would be sent, but it was a future sending he was being told about, and it occurred in Acts 20, verse 6, on that boat, God told him, go. And he went. Boy, his first stop there at Troas, he spoke all night. It's the only time he's recorded as having given a whole, all night, preached all night. All right, next item. Acts 9, verse 15, is not ascending. The previous speaker mentioned that one too. Acts 9, verse 15, we'll read it. It's not ascending, but an informing. Listen as we read it. But the Lord said unto him, the Lord's talking to Ananias here and sending him to remove the blindness of Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Get the gospel of God there. Who he is, his identity, that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. To bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, that's not ascending. If it is, Paul was amiss. He was wrong in not going to kings until you get to Acts 26. First time he's actually sent or told he's going to kings other than this would be Acts 23:11. They're not in order. He went to straightway. Remember we read in Acts 9:20, straightway he preached in the synagogues. That's the children of Israel, the third item. So this isn't ascending. This is an informing of what's going to happen during his life. And it goes on in verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. I missed a word, I think. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Acts 9:15, about those three Paul's future to go to Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel, it's not ascending. It's not one of his sending out, what's the term? Well, for missionaries, it would be, it's not his mission, but this is an apostleship. It's not his, I don't know, embassy. It's just an informing. It's like a beforehand biography of Paul's life, what he's going to be doing. All right, let's go to the next item. Acts 26, verses 16 and 17. Acts 26, verses 16 and 17. And I think this is largely overlooked, what it's actually saying here, because people have it in their mind what they want to think or what they've been told to think about it. But it shows that Jews and Gentiles were the apostate Jews and Gentiles. It's talking about the Jews and Gentiles here. It does not specify all the Gentiles or even all the Jews. But the Jews and Gentiles that it's talking about are the apostate Jews and Greeks. Remember in 1 Corinthians 1, there are some Greeks that call it foolishness. There are some seekers of knowledge, wisdom and knowledge, like the Greeks, that did not seek the wisdom and knowledge of God. They're not usually in Paul's, in that Acts 13 to 19 section there, where the Greeks are mentioned, it's talking about believing Greeks that wanted to come to God Israel's way. I mean, the way that God was working at that time through Israel. But so I've got a heading here. Let me just read it, and then we'll get into the verses. Acts 26, verses 16 to 17 shows that those Jews and Gentiles were the apostate Jews and Greeks from whom Christ would deliver Paul. Those were the people and the Gentiles to whom Christ first sent Paul early on. Okay, and this is a recounting in Acts 26, recounting of Acts 9. What happened to Paul in Acts 9 with some additional details. So, starting in Acts 26, verse 16, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So we get future appearances announced here. But I broke into the middle of the sentence, didn't I? Let me go back. "And of make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles." What people and what Gentiles will Christ deliver Paul from? The ones unto whom now I send thee. So the ones, the Gentiles and the people that Christ was sending Paul to were the ones he would have to deliver him from. And I've gone through and found five places in those few chapters where there was a deliverance. The Lord sometimes used other people, sometimes used Paul's intellect, but I want to go through them because it's important and it's overlooked a lot of the times. In each deliverance, Paul was delivered from apostate synagogue Jews and the Greeks too, but the main thing here, it's the Jews that are going to get blinded and cast away at the end of this diminishing here that we're going through in middle part of Acts. Mid-Acts, I guess we could say. Acts 9, 23 and 25. That's the first deliverance. "After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." And then in Acts 9, 25, this is still in Damascus, I think. Yeah. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. He was delivered from those Jews that were going to kill him. That's the first one. Second one, Acts 14, verses 19 and 20. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, now remember, Hebrew, Jewish law, the law required stoning until dead, not just injuring him. Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. He was delivered. Came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's the second deliverance. And it's the second times Jews, apostate Jews, were the ones he had to be delivered from. Let's look in Acts 17, verse 5. 5 and verse 10. Starting with 5, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Paul is certainly a good lesson on perseverance, isn't he? Keeping at it, what we're sure that God has called us to. But here we see the Jews which believed not, those apostate Jews, are the ones that Paul had to be delivered from, and the brethren delivered him. In this case, God used the brethren. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That's verse 10 in 17. So that's the third deliverance. There's two or three more. The third one is his deliverance from the lion, the mouth of the lion. He's delivered from this world. We would say he died. Fourth deliverance, Acts 18:22. When he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And that's Paul's briefest visit to Jerusalem. He got out in a hurry, like the Lord had told him. Here's what happened in that briefest visit back to Jerusalem in Acts 22:17 through 21. He recounts it. Starting in verse 17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, this is Acts 22:18, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. He obeyed, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Actually, he's telling this not at the time when he's leaving, but he had left and gone on a journey, and when he came back to Jerusalem, he's telling this about that temple vision before he left on his trip. And when he gets down here, the next verse, we'll get to it in a minute, but you can see when he does tell them, they do not receive the Lord's testimony, or Paul's testimony of what the Lord said. So, going on to verse 19, Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know I've imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, I helped. Acts 22, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will, there's that future sending, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, be careful. Some people that don't agree with these verses, they'll use this as a weapon against you if you start calling them far, hence Gentiles. The Gentiles, it's the ones he's sent to are far hence from him, yeah, but they're not far. What they really are is in Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 17, they're called far off Gentiles, those that are far off. So I will send thee far hence, far away from here, in other words, unto the Gentiles. What Gentiles? The far off Gentiles. So here's, there's a danger, and the danger is the apostate Jews who attack Paul for saying God would save non-Greek, alien Gentiles that cursed Israel. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that Christ sent me, Paul, to these alien Gentiles that don't want to come to God through Israel. They need God's grace. Well, that's what he's saying here. And look what happened. I mean, the Jews, like Daryl was saying the other night after in a recounting, an expansion, actually, those Jews in the temple and in Jerusalem, they were okay with the Greeks coming to God through Israel's program, bringing their tithes to Israel, to the synagogues, yeah. But they didn't want, anybody that went against Genesis 12:3, I will curse him that curseth thee. How could he be of God? Well, God changed the rules on them. They had fallen already. They had walked away from God's covenant with them. God was, even if it's an unconditional covenant, if they walk away from it and defy God and refuse to believe that Jesus is God, God's going to wait. I don't like the term set aside or put on the shelf. They're not biblical terms. But he did cast them away. And that's not going to be a permanent casting away, though. He did blind them. Beyond blinding in part. He blinded them, period. But that's going to be removed in Zechariah 12, verse 10, when they see him coming in the sky. They see his hands, whom they've pierced. And he hits the Mount of Olives and splits it in two on his way down. So that's... Did I read the verse? They gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. Anybody that says God would save alien Gentiles... Dirty dog Gentiles that don't want to come to God through Israel. Well, they can't anymore. That's the point. That's why God, immediately after, within hours or days after Israel fell, Christ saved Paul, Saul of Tarsus. So that's the fourth deliverance. The fifth one. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Acts 20, and I'll just read them. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there abode 3 months. And that's when most people believe that's when 2 Corinthians was written and Paul wrote Romans, in those 3 months sitting there in Greece. That would be Acts 20, so it was after the temple vision. He knew that Christ was going to soon send him to all people, but he hadn't received that sending yet. You can see it it was Acts 18. Thessalonians would have been Acts 17. But after he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, when you get to Corinthians, especially 2nd Corinthians, you start seeing hints about him going to all people. And in the introduction in the book of Romans, he says, I have received apostleship to all nations, but he wasn't yet sent, and he hadn't yet preached to all people by sending. He could have preached to them any time he wanted to, but he wasn't yet sent, so he doesn't write to those people. We got to the part where he's in Greece for 3 months. Verse 3 now. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews, there they are again, when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. In other words, to go north along the coast and sail from Macedonia instead of sailing from Greece. And the Lord, that's the case where the Lord used Paul's intellect and those who had found out about that they were laying wait for him, used that way to deliver him. That's the fifth deliverance. But the point is, those Jews and Gentiles that he had to be delivered from and that Paul was sent to were the apostate Jews and the apostate Greeks that didn't... they believed something, or they wouldn't have been there, but they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They sided with those apostate Jews. So Acts 26, verses 16 and 17 show that those Jews and Gentiles were the apostate Jews and Greeks from whom Christ would deliver Paul. Those were the people, that's Israel, the Jews, apostate Jews, those were the people and the Gentiles, we believe, to whom Christ first sent Paul, his first sending. Okay, Romans 11:11 is the next item, and that shows that through Israel's fall, salvation came to those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. As you read the verse, well, let's read it. Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled? Talking about Israel. Did they stumble? They stumbled at the cross. They crucified their Messiah. That was called in Scripture a stumbling at the stumbling block, stumbling stone. It's called both things, actually. Have they stumbled that they should fall? They did stumble, but they didn't have to fall, in other words, is what he's saying. God forbid. They didn't have to fall after they crucified their Messiah. They could have changed their mind, repented, and believed that he was the Messiah. That's what Peter's message was at Pentecost. But, rather, through their fall, through Israel's fall in Acts 7, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Notice it does not say, come unto all the Gentiles. Salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Which ones, Paul? Which Gentiles? Salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. So Paul states it right there, which Gentiles? It's not to all the Gentiles yet. That was not Paul's second sending to all people. So let's look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Deuteronomy 32, 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. it's easy. Got to get my scripture back here. Let's see. Deuteronomy 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Remember, the Greeks are not national Greeks. They're from various countries other than Greece, or from Greece, but they're not Greeks because they're from Greece. They're from Greeks because they follow the Greek culture to find wisdom and knowledge. The Greeks were known for their libraries, their information they had gathered, and the knowledge, their seeking of knowledge. I will move Israel. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. That fits the description of those Greeks that were believing. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Foolish nation. That's believing Israel. Remember, I will take the nation, take the kingdom from you, from those the Pharisees or whoever there in, what was that, Matthew 21:3, I think, somewhere in there, 21:40. And I will give it unto a nation bearing the fruits thereof, a little. Give it unto you, little flock. I don't have the exact reading, and I'm not. Well, let's see if we can find it. Anybody have the 21? I think it's 21. Yeah, that's it. With my memory going, let's look at it. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, from those apostate Jews, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Okay. Get the rest you need. Luke, trying to remember where Luke is. Anybody remember? 21:32, is it? No, that's not it. Somebody's got it. 12, okay. 12. Fear not, little flock. So it's the little flock that receives the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the kingdom is transferred to the little flock as a nation, a believing smaller nation. I was looking at Deuteronomy 32:21. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, that fits the Greeks, and provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, considered foolish by those in power there, yeah, in Israel. So Romans 11:11 shows that through Israel's fall, salvation is it came to those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy, and that's according to Romans 11:11 and Deuteronomy 32:21. Let's do one more here. Acts 28. Verses 16 to 29, it's not a body of Christ event. It's different. It's an Israel event. Acts 28, starting in verse 16, and I'll hopscotch through verses that show that Paul's talking to Jews, to Israel, to Hebrews, not to the general public, not to Gentiles. When we came, this is verse 16, Acts 28:16. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, chief of the Jews, now he's talking, he's addressing the Jews, in other words, the heads of the Jews. Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, talking about our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's Israel, yet was I delivered from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Who obeys the law of Moses and the prophets? That's Israel he's talking to and about. From morning till evening. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, that's Israel. Verse 26, saying, go unto this people, and say, so he's talking to this people, hear ye, hearing ye, let me get it right here. Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Verse 27, for the heart of this people, that's Israel in the Bible, this people is Israel. The heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of I'm sorry. I always connect those two. gross ear wax. Anyway, let me recover here. We'll start with verse 27 again. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, the Lord has been merciful through so many centuries by this time, that time, and you wonder why he's letting them, you know, keeping them blinded, keeping them from hearing. It's called the determinate counsel of God. God determined that his son, Jesus Christ, would bear our sins on the cross. And he was making it happen here, letting it happen. Verse 28, Acts 28:28. Be it known, therefore, unto who? Unto you Israelites, you Jews. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, this was after Acts 20, verse 6, when Paul was sent to all people. So he's serving notice here that it's happened. It's too late. You know, you can come to God just like everybody else, but it's not any special access by being a Jew. It's not any hindrance either, but you have to admit that you're a sinner, that your Jewishness doesn't help, and that you need a Savior. Just like we do. We have to admit that we believe God had to supply his son, a Savior, the Messiah, and raise him from the dead to justify us. The sins were forgiven at the cross. Sins were paid for at the cross, put it that way. I don't want to get into that, but they were paid for at the cross, and once you believe, your sins are forgiven. If that's not enough, that's what we're told in the Bible, that the sins are paid for. The wages of sin is death. Those wages were paid for at the cross. And a couple places there, Acts 26, I think it's 18, says that you have to receive the forgiveness of sins. And those who believe receive the forgiveness of sins in Acts 13:38-39. So, Acts 28, verses 16-29 is not a body of Christ event. It's an Israel event. And going on, it's an Israel event because we believe the verses shown in context. Don't believe the teacher. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. And, you know, I got all I need kind of thing. And make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes. That's blinding. Lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, convert, and be healed. Then said I, this is Isaiah speaking back to the Lord, then said I, how long? And he answered and said, until, and this verifies that Acts 28 statement of Paul, quoting these verses, that was actually Israel's casting away and blinding. How long? He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Verse 12, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And that's the way it was for centuries until they found oil there and minerals that were valuable, and companies started moving in and people. And then everybody wanted it. That's our land. God declared it for Israel. In fact, he had Abraham walk the circumference of it. Up to Haran, down to Egypt. Acts 28, verses 16 to 29 is part of a prophesied Israel event there in Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 12. Believe the verses, not the teacher. Actually, open the pages of your Bible and go through these verses and read them. It'll be enlightening. Okay, I'm done and ready for questions.